Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.
Seven 19 Central African time. Yeah, yes, it was. It's just a volume problem here, Shiraz. I had my volume so low that I couldn't hear you, and it was. We sorted that out immediately after announcement. Shiraz engineer said he's there, and I said, oh, I'm excited to hear the voice of Shiraz Randri. Shiraz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Shiraz?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Beautiful Sunday morning, of course, cold here in Johannesburg, an average of about 5 degrees. We're looking good for us, alhamdulillah. And yes, it's such a pleasure and an honor to have to chat with you this morning on a beautiful radio station such as Marcus Sahaba, and to all your listeners out there. May Allah give you guys all a Mubarak day. And then Brother Shafat, you know, after my little chat with you yesterday, you know, I always look forward to speaking to you, and such a pleasure and an honor. I hope you're doing well, and hope your family is well, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, reciprocal, alhamdulillah, summa, alhamdulillah, talking to a beautiful ummah, a positive ummah that is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you said, you know, being on an Islamic platform keeps us on the straight and narrow and gives us the opportunity of serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we hope we'll pray in a manner that pleases Him most. And, you know, Shiraz, looking at all that has gone through, and especially in Durban, it's that time. They call it the winter time. They call it the sardine time. There's a sardine fever. I want to take you back, way back. I mean, you have a history with Durban. You have a lot of family members here. You know, all your family members embrace you, celebrate you. There's your cousin, Butch. Yeah, I know him as Abdul Qadir. Always talking about, hey, my cousin Shiraz did this and he did that, my cousin Shiraz. And talk to us about your experience of Durban, the Indian Ocean, the sardine motion in the ocean. Who better than you, Shiraz? You bring it alive. Do it for us. Bismillah.
So, you know, you remember back in the days when we were little boys living in the Sepingo, what a beautiful day now. As we lived in the beach area, so it was just across the road. And I remember being a little boy, and my mom would say, my late mom, Allah fil kabarud nur, and grant the highest jannah to all marhumin as well. And she used to take a little dish, you know, the big plastic dish, and say, let's go, man, and take us and my dad and all of us, you know, whichever kids could come, they were little, some of the little ones would stay behind. But we would go so eagerly to go and try and get this. And we walk down and you get as much as you can. And you see this whole school of fish that you see. You get so excited being a youngster. You get to understand, you know, as much as you get to take as much as you can. You know, you get excited, you load, and then you see them jumping out and you try to pull it back in and then you jump into the water. Very exciting. It's a very good experience for me as well. And then eventually you try and bring the one dish across and you run back to full. You know, it's never too much, you know, it's always not enough. You've got to just go back all the time. But then you would see people gathering along and some would say, no, just get that little bunch there. Try and grab that and let me help you. Everybody was united for whatever it was because there was so much, you know, this is the mercy of Allah. The greatness of Allah Ta'ala, when He has to feed humans, Allah makes every way. You know, like we created from the ground. And Allah still provides from the water, provides us water, provides from the ground for us, provides from the sea for us. Brother Shafar, really fantastic stuff. And you would see the fishermen all of a sudden got a rod lying on one side and leaving everything else to run towards this type of thing. And in that one particular year when I was there, I remember a big tortoise had come out at that time. When I was a little boy, I got scared, so I left the whole bucket of sardines go back in. And then my mommy said to me, listen, how can you do that? Because you got scared of a little tortoise. I said, no, it was big enough. But great days, Brother Shafat. And then when you get it off to the shores, and then they clean it up, and then they fry it. I used to only eat them fried. But Brother Shafat, you know, I miss all those days because those were the good and the barakat days that we really enjoyed. So, you know, to the fishermen that you spoke about, our brother Ishad Baizi and the other brother that's gone to Johannesburg, I mean, you know what? They probably know what they're talking about. Of course, yourself being in the area, you know what it's all about, you know?
You know, Shiraz, I think this is why you and I really resonate very positively too. We have a common background. We're talking about Sepingo. And, I want to know whereabouts is Sepingo you lived. And, were you, close to the Sepingo Beach Masjid or was it the Sepingo Rail Masjid? Give us a little bit of your Sepingo history, Shiraz, because, your uncles still love you. You know, your uncles still have wholesales and all in this area. Talk to us about it.
Yes, Brother Shafat, you know, I grew up with my late granny and my family in Sepingo Beach. So we lived at one time at an area, at a street called Tiger Rocks, the famous Tiger Rocks. Then we moved down towards Ocean Terrace. But it was such a nice area at that time, you know. Isipingo was something very unique, a very nice area at that time. You know, a lot of history came from the English era. And a lot of the homes were still those type of English homes where we all in the community were very well united. So the masjid that you're talking about was the old masjid that still stands behind the current masjid in Isipingo, if you remember that. And back in the day, there was a little small section there. Then there were the masjid flats that were there. And, you know, we used to walk around from that area. But coming back to Isipingo, a lot of good history. We had the famous Colleen's tea room, you remember there. There was the Ganchi's tea room there that was there. You know, the tea room, sort of called tea room. And then you went down to the River Mouth area. So I remember, I used to walk in that area. Being a little boy, I did a lot of mileage. I mean, my heels used to be worn out. But people knew me, the guy that walked around everywhere being a little boy, because I never, you know, we actually used to walk from Isipingo to Isipingo Hills. There was a time where when my family moved to Isipingo Hills, there was no masjid there as well. Now, I mean, this is a different area altogether. And then coming from Isipingo Hills with my dad, early parts on Fajr, for Eid Salah, because they used to have Eidgah in Isipingo at the grounds, we used to walk from Isipingo Hills right across Prospectum, coming across the bridge where motor assemblies, all that was. Mm-hmm. And that used to be, it was quite safe. You know, you walk past GUD, Ream, I'm not giving them an advert, but it was, that was what it was all about, you know. So good experience, good day, good safety. South Africa was still a beautiful, I mean, still is, but back then was a beautiful country, much safer. And a lot I can remember. You know, you're actually taking me down to an alley where I think of the times my father used to get us up early. We used to keep our clothes ready. You know, you were ready for the night before Eid and walking through. But then, you know, Isipingo and Isipingo Beach, very, very good. Then, of course, you come into a place like Reunion. I got a lot of family that you have as well there. We used to walk in that area. I used to actually walk right to Reunion. Very much safer. Today, you can't do that. But so much of barakah, so much of goodness, so much to have to, you know, to look forward to at that time, because you never worried about safety. It wasn't a real problem at all. But good days, barakah days, unity, you know, and of course then darkness prevailed because with all the issues that we currently have. So may Allah give afia to the entire dunya, you know.
I mean, you know, Shiraz, I love the memories that you bring back. And I recall that, yeah, you used to have the Eidgah at the Isipingo Beach Masjid. And guess who used to supply the tarpaulin? You won't believe it. Maulana Harun got in touch with me. And I remember, you remember Universal Chairs and Tarpaulin Hire. It was owned by my uncle, my mother's brother. Yeah, this is on my maternal side. And there he was, Maulana asked me, can a chef make a plan, man? Where's the tarpaulins? And I used to tell my uncle, and every year we used to supply the tarpaulins, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them for that. And it was, as you said, the memories. There was a sugarcane field all around, and they were, you know, maybe we could play in the sugarcane fields. I don't know if they should call those monkey bells. We used to have that from the tree, and there was the soccer matches that we used to go on. Many things. And I used to actually, yes, I used to cycle from Isipingo Beach right to Isipingo Rails to visit my paternal grandmother. And as you said, we have common relatives in Isipingo. I used to go and visit my pupima there with my bicycle. And it was, as you said, so safe to even cycle or to walk to those places. And then every Sunday without fail, Shiraz, I had a group of friends. It was Hafiz Soli, Suleiman, and there was also the Patels and the Vaudas. We all used to get together, and you know what, my late cousin Imtiaz Hashim also, we used to run to the airport. It was known as, I think at that time, Louis Botha Airport, early in the morning after Fajr, run to the airport, sit down there, buy ourselves ice cream, eat the ice cream, and run back. And you know what, there was this motivation in us to be fit, to be strong. And, you know, we were both physically fit and spiritually fit here. And I want to know, did you have any experience with Bhai Padia Rahimullah during your time as a lighty in Isipingo Beach?
You know, you just took the words out of my mouth. I was about to mention that. So there used to be a big house in the corner there in Delta Road, Garbi's house, you remember? Right, near Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, I remember that house. And that house, you know, there's a history behind it. Our common connection. You know, my first cousin, Imam Jamadar, also related to you.
Yes,
he was like a caretaker of the place. And the Gardis wanted to know, you know, what can we do? And he actually, I think Maulana Gora and him had a discussion. And it's presently, it's a girls' madrasa now, Shiraz. Go ahead.
MashaAllah. So as you go up the road there to Delta Road, and across there where my granny and them live is number 60, across was Haji Bhai Padia. Now, I remember one particular time when there was ever Salah time, you would run across before the Adhan and jump in, and then that car would travel to the masjid. So you never got left for any Salah. But one of the beautiful things was that when he walked with you, sometimes he would walk like Zuhr Salah or Asar Salah, he would walk with that brisk walk with that stick, and he would talk to you. And one of the things he taught me is actually what I would tell you now, is that he used to tell me, you know what, in the remembrance, you know, keep the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the things he said was, read Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, kept on saying, read that. So I remember this many, many years, for many years to come. Allah fully covered Noor, grant him the highest thing. Of course it was Allah, because he was a man of piety, man of knowledge, and man of dawah. And then there was something very nice that one suhoor morning, many times actually, not but one particular morning I walked across, and he said, come and join us for suhoor. And I went there. Believe you me, they only ate fresh. Roti was made fresh. The tarkari was made fresh. Everything was made fresh. They believed in eating fresh and the goodness of it. And it was barakah and khair. To tell you the honest fact, after that, you either got to live to the masjid or you walk to the masjid that was up the road, you know, past there. Wasn't that difficult. Wasn't much of a distance, but you sort of burned out that type of eating there. Yet the man had a very different way of understanding. He says, you know, you consume and then you give back because you control the body. So a lot of things he had taught me and mentioned to us that made a lot of sense as you get older and wiser, because today we have one weakness, Brother Shafat, is that we eat and we sit. And the man said, eat and walk, so burn it out. So good exercise. So alhamdulillah, goodness for that, inshallah.
Absolutely, and you really walk. And you know, sometimes I walk to the mosque and I come back and people stop. I said, no, bhai, Bedul Jamaat. And they all give me a big chuckle because they learned that from Bhai Padia Rahimullah. And as you spoke about his history and you know how important it was, I remember when I was, I finished matric that year, and I remember him calling me one day before Ramadan, and he told me, you know what, the last 10 days of Ramadan, I won't be here, I'll be gone overseas, and I'll be in the holy lands and so forth. I want you to sit for itikaf. And you know what, he told me, sit in my cubicle. You won't believe it, Shiraz. 3 years running, I sat in Bhai Padia's cubicle, and you know, people wanted to join. I said, no, all alone, I was a lighty then. And that was, you know, perhaps the blessings I took from a great individual like him. Allah fill his cover with Noor and grant him the highest stages, Jannah, I mean. And then, you know, subsequently, his father was my ustad in Isipingo Rail Mosque. He's the one that took me into the Noble Quran, Hafiz Ismail Padia. And, you know, this is a strong bond, strong history we have. And then we get, you know, people that are youngsters today. They don't even know where our background is, where we come from, and so forth. You know, sometimes we need to give out these stories for them to realize, you know, these people are fortunate that they were with them. And, you know, we experienced them firsthand, Shiraz. Your thought?
Awiji, can you hear me, Brother Shafat?
Yeah, I can hear you. You just cut off. I hope you could hear me. Did you hear me, Shiraz?
Yes, I can hear you, Brother Shafat. I said, as I was speaking, fortunate are we that we had, you know, we spent time in the company of the learned elders, you know, the elders that held the hand of dua. So the coming back to reality is that spending that time, getting that beautiful nasiha and the value of life, you know, you needed money to survive, but the barakah of being with the people like that was so enormous, was so comforting. These words are not enough to tell you, but the honest truth of it, it was such an honor and a privilege. Of course, you know our Qari, late Qari, Yusuf Nurbhai, who actually taught me my first Quran in the madrasa.
Allahu Akbar.
You know, and I'm still in contact with these children in Johannesburg, you know. And one man that really, you know, was very, 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 very staunch about the Quran, who up until recently, I said to his son the other day, can I get some recordings? He says, but do me a favor, keep these recordings for yourself. Do not distribute it out, because Karisab never liked the fact of selling Quran out. You know, if you wanted the ayah, he would read a thing for you, and you must keep it for yourself. So they taught us a lot of goodness. Haji Bhai, there were the whole Padia family, the Saleji family, everybody that lived around there, you know, was a great time, was a great experience living in Isipingo. I do miss it. You know, reminiscing in the past is something that, you know, you can never stop, because you'll always think of where you come from and where you are today. So alhamdulillah, we're thankful for that, Brother Shafat.
No, absolutely. And Ahmad Salehji, you know, Rehmullah, Feliz Kavalud Noor too, he had a lot of time for me, and he's always put his hand around my shoulder and give me good advice. And they knew I was doing journalism, and subsequently they got to know me as DDAS editor and so forth. But I recall again, you know, he one day when the mountain of knowledge, Sheikh Zakaria Rehmullah, Sheikhul Hadith, when he came into Spingo Beach, and he lived at Ahmad Salehji's place, and you know, he told me, come, my son. And he gave me, he said, you go alone and sit in that room with this buzruk. He said, for half an hour, do whatever you want. And I sat next to Sheikh Zakaria Rehmullah. And there, you know, he loved this stony ginger beer. So I poured some and I gave it to him, and I held his hand, and he looked at me. And, you know, this we hardly spoke. We just looked at each other. But he was giving me signals, do this, do that. And eventually when I left him, he held my hand and I held his hand. And I never felt more softer hands in my life. Soft like cotton wool. Soft like cotton wool. So alhamdulillah, these were the experiences that Isipingo Beach gave me. It is a town that nurtured me. And still, you know, I look at Isipingo Beach as, be synonymous. And I look at you as one of the members of Isipingo Beach. Looking at you, Shiraz, then you moved out from Isipingo Beach. And then you went to another powerful town that had the first Darul Ulum in this country. You know, Newcastle. Talk to us about your stay in Newcastle, Shiraz.
You know, being a young boy, way back in 78, they had the Ishtima there, and our learned Mufti Sahib, that's also on the radio station, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain, who was also the vice principal there, being in Newcastle. Newcastle was a very, very dull town. Now, dull in the sense that it'd been cold, because, you know, they say, you know, it had cold there, very cold and whatever it is. And a monastery that was old lying there, and Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sayyama Rahimullah decided to take upon himself with whatever little he had and start the Darul Ulum and, you know, the House of Knowledge, and right at the bottom there in Newcastle. And I remember going there, you know, it was an old building, old monastery where the hostel people were sleeping still, you know, the students were sleeping, made many sacrifices in the old sort of, you know, the blocks building with wooden floors and this, and very cold at that time. But you know what? The students were so much hunger for the fact that they were in the company of a learned scholar, and being with learned scholars as well, that they wanted to get this knowledge, becoming ufas, becoming alims. And that was the first time I got to realize what it's all about. Not that I haven't known how does an alim become whatever it is. Of course, it's a 7-year course. Then they travel abroad. We used to wait for them to come from India, probably, or whatever, Pakistan, every 2 years, whatever it is. But here in our midst of it, in South Africa, of course, Darul Ulum had started. And alhamdulillah, it was a great thing. I used to actually go there. My dad moved in there, coming back for the week. We had moved to Johannesburg, then came to Newcastle. And very, very different town. Newcastle, you know, the other day I was talking to somebody, and I had a chat with my dad as well. They say if you want a place, no matter whatever it is, you want a place of knowledge, you want a place of barakah, you want a place where you can find contentment. Even though in business it's overstated, but you still find goodness in it, live in Newcastle. Really, that's what it's all about, Brother Shafat. I was there for a short while in schooling, lived there, got to understand. My mother got involved in a madrasa, and alhamdulillah, she's buried there today. So, you know, I have family there. Beautiful town, and really, you know, a lot of massages that have come up. A town that, had, like I said earlier, had darkness, had a cloud on it. Today has nur on it, subhanAllah.
SubhanAllah, so eloquent indeed, Shiraz. And then I can see, it was, they called it the St. Dominic Academy. So I think they bought, you know, portions of the St. Dominic Academy, which was also, you know, run by nuns and so forth. And alhamdulillah, imagine, you know, you're reminding me a bit of a Britain. And as you said, you know, all these memories coming through, lovely stories being, you know, I mean, I recall, you know, being on CII, and even Ibrahim Genget, whenever he wasn't well or he went on leave, and he said, Shaf, please stand in for me. And I used to do that. And, you know, Apa Randri, as your mom, you know, Allah fill her kabar with nur and give her Jannatul Firdaus, and bless all our mothers that have made the parda from this dunya, and give them all Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen, Summa Ameen. Apa Randri, my first show, I remember the first whole week, and Ibrahim went for leave, I think, for 1.5 weeks, and I did the stood in for them, for him. And, you know, to fit into shoes of a giant like that wasn't easy, and I was still new into CII radio. And I remember the first call that I received was from your mom, Shiraz. And she embraced me. She celebrated me. She had the love for me. And the same goes with you and your dad also, you know, showed me a lot of love and a lot of encouragement. And I really, you know, give you my salams if you get the opportunity. But as you say, you know, you've been to many places. But some of the things that you have done personally as yourself, that you went to war-torn areas and, you know, you did a lot of humanitarian relief and so forth. Tell us some of the memories that shines out in your mind that, you know, if you think of today, you still shed a tear or two. Talk to us about it, Shiraz.
You know, Brother Shafak, when you talk about war-torn areas, you know, may Allah Ta'ala give the entire dunya afia, because, you know, the atrocities of the world, as Islam gets stronger, the world gets weaker, you know. So let me tell you what has happened. Being into Syria, going into a war-torn area like Qilis, Aleppo, having to interact with people that are so poor, fighting for their land, just to be themselves, to be in where they're living. The only thing is fighting for the land. And then one of the things that really hurt me was that they didn't have the food that, you know, we can walk around, there's takeaways, there's this place, there's that place. Oh, that was first, the first thing. Then our poor sisters, with regard to the sanitary stuff that we had collected some years back with Syria, my responsibility, remember the story there. But Brother Shafat, living there, getting to see you, interacting with the people, playing with little kids, one of the things that really every day makes me think about it, I played with one of my grandkids the other day. You know, alhamdulillah, I'm blessed. Inshallah, I'll be having 7. But coming back to reality, Brother Shafat, there was a little sweet, and I saw this kid, and I said to him, can I have one sweet? And he gave me the sweet. And between him and I, as the sweet fell, it fell in the ground. And you could see his face went a bit very, like, sorrowful, and he cried. So I picked it up, I dusted it, and he wanted the sweet back. So then he took it and put it back into my mouth. But he cried about it because this is a luxury. Our kids today, you open the corner cupboard, there's everything that's there. So anyway, what we did, myself and my asatis that were with me, my brothers that were with us in that.
We're having problems there with the Shiraz's line, but alhamdulillah, really bring it alive there, giving us the history of Syria being in war-torn areas and, you know, the street falling down. And sad indeed, yes. But I can tell you, I had an experience, mashallah, when I went to Mogadishu for humanitarian aid over the Al Nimdar Foundation. And they were these kids, you know, when we went to madrasas, and they were holding your hands, grabbing onto your hands, small 3-4-year-old kids. And because we're giving them aid, you know, they didn't want to leave our fingers. They're holding us so tightly. But Shiraz talking about the sweet falling to the ground and picking it up and cleaning it up, and that kid putting it back into Shiraz's mouth. And this is a type of love those children show you. And this is what empathy, sympathy they need from us. And you know, when you're sending people that are going onto the ground, they have to be someone that have that same, you know, type of empathy and sympathy. And they resonate and they know the psychology of children that are, you know, confronted by this. Shiraz, you were breaking up there, but I believe you're back. And continue, Shiraz.
Yeah, I was just telling you something, and this Abdullah, as I walked away, and we're telling him we're leaving after spending 7 days with him in the snow, you know, and as I walked, and he cried, Baba, Baba, like, you know, he became attached to me, because I stood, like, he had pins and plates on his leg, you know, he went in for an operation into Turkey and had come back, but he was taken care of, he lost everything, and Brother Shafat, he kept on crying, Baba, Baba, and when I left, and I was leaving, my heart was very, very, very sore. You know, it really, I came into Turkey that particular, and I remember coming into Rehanlia, and I went to the masjid that morning, and I just burst out crying when Salah was being performed in the Jamaat. They thought something had happened to me, and I cried, and I went down to my knees, and one of the brothers thought that I got ill and probably had an attack or something. But you know what, wallahu alazim, you know what, talking about it really now, I cried because, you know, for what this youngster had gone through. I have children, we have grandchildren, I have nephews, nieces, we all have children, Brother Shafat. And to see, you know, this boy, youngster, who lost his family. Then there was a little Muhammad who was only 4 years old. And there's a picture somewhere on the website about it that, you know, I carried him up and we had taken him out of rubble. And he was the only survivor, had lost all his parents. So, you know, it was, these were the remarkable things about getting to understand. One message out to our children, please remember something, that we love you guys, we value you, but love your parents back, because when they're around, take the advantage of them. The doors of dua, they're holding the hands of dua to you, because when they're gone, the doors of dua are closed. Remember, Rabbi Hamhuma Gama Rabbayani Sagara. That's the important message out today. That I cry out for these children. They don't even know what's going to happen to them, what's going to happen in the future. But Allah Ta'ala will take care of them. And we say, Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. I learned this in Syria, Brother Shafat. You know, when you speak of this topic, one of the colonels that met me there, and he said to me, we Islam forbids begging, but we will beg to Allah who will send people like you. South Africans, we're grateful to you. So to our South Africans, please reach out, give as much as you can to whatever is locally, abroad, and whatever good cause it is, give inshallah. Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah will provide for us inshallah.
Yeah, you know, Shiraz, especially when you go into war-torn zones. And I remember, once again, in Mogadishu, a lot of bomb blasts took place. Our hotel accommodation was bombed also. And I believe, there was a ministry, a road across, and it was bombed, and limbs were flying over and coming. And, you know, you see all these things. And did you ever, witness a war, a bomb blast? You know, sometimes it can have a psychological impact on individuals. But thank Allah, we were strong and came back home. But we were like, you actually a mujahid when you go into these fields of humanitarian work, especially when it's a war zone, Shiraz.
See, Brother Shafat, some months back when we had an interview with you, I did speak about the time we were driving in a car, and Brother Marhuma Ibrahim was interviewing us, myself and my colleague that was with me in a car, and he had spoken, I was about to speak, and next thing, the drivers in the front, they were driving, the brothers that were there from Syria driving, and they said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Muhammad was in the, screaming, and they looked at, they're shouting, look at the back, and I was looking, I said, Ya Allah, I'm in your land now, the land of Sham, Ya Allah, if I have to lose my life for this, Ya Allah, then you have written whatever it is for me. So anyway, I was terrified. I really was terrified. I read every dicker in my mind, everything in my mind. I read everything that I could and thought of everything. And I said, Allah, you know what? And I kept on reading the Kalima. And eventually the thing went right over, and then they drove into a tandem. And we got a little bit of a bump here and there. But they got out, they repaired the vehicle, and we came out. But very scary, very terrifying to have to see this. You see the shelling. You got to experience this type of thing. Very fearful. But, this is a sad reality of what's happening abroad. May Allah Ta'ala give them afia, inshallah.
Allah Shiraz, I tell you, beautiful conversation with you this morning. You brought it alive, a lot of memories, and eloquent as usual. And Allah has given you the energy to talk to us. And you got up this morning and you sounded fresh as you ever was. And perhaps are your parting words this morning, Shiraz?
My beloved brother, I want to say something. Allah keep the muhabba between you and I till akhirah, inshallah. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. To all that have made the sacrifices to on this platform to do good work like yourself, getting up and wanting to do this type of, this is a form of dawah. Continue the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might feel you're not getting rewarded here, but in akhirah you'll be rewarded. And you know what? In some way, Allah will show you some protection, some khair. Allah will show you some barakah. Do goodness, do for the love of Allah. When you do with the right, never let the left know. When you do with the left, of course, obviously you don't do with the left. But when you do with any hand, do not expect any gratitude. Accept the fact that you have pleased your Allah. When you do for Allah, you will be greatly rewarded. My late mother used to say, give till it hurts. A person that was, went to standard four, and did so much of humanitarian work that actually her salary from Madrasa is to go out to be given to everybody, and said to my father, you will look after me and don't worry about what I do with the money that I earn. But what she said, what the real thought of it was, give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be greatly rewarded. Somewhere, whatever it comes from, Allah will take care of you. Remember, Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Do not use Allah's terms to say lip service, but use it from the heart, because your heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah make me from amongst those that are doing righteous, good work, not to go and blow my trumpet and speak and to be a person, but to be a person that pleases my Allah.
Ameen, Summa Ameen, Shiraz Ranzvi, Allah bless you now and forever. Lovely chatting with you, inshallah. We'll keep tabs with you, talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.